2 Timothy. This is part, we're still in the part two of faith on the fruit of the Spirit. And we had made it down through here last week into 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we had talked about this last week. We'll look at it again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, looking at faith, says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And we had talked about the fact that it was unfeigned faith. It was a genuine. It wasn't fake. It was real. It was a genuine faith, and it was a generational faith. That faith was passed down from grandma to daughter, and it landed there at Timothy. And that's what we're looking at Timothy here. And he's talking about the faith that had been passed to him. And, you know, we look at church, and we look at church as kind of through man's eyes instead of God's eyes. A lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll try to figure out what church is. And we think church is doing a bunch of stuff. And we think church is a bunch of people gathering together, when church really is individuals that God gets a hold of and does something to them. That's what church is. And where a couple people, two or more gathered in my name, he says, you know, that's the simplest form of a church. And that faith being passed on. I mean, our dear brother Jerry Gard passed away, but we were talking in a prayer meeting about how he had made a difference in all of our lives. God had used him to affect the young men too. He ended in church. He didn't end at the bar. He didn't end out of God's will. He ended in the faith, in church, being faithful. And that was faith passed down. And now we have faith from him passed down through these younger men, through all of us. He helped us all increase our faith. And, but, you know, it's a blessing. You know, we talk about little Lucas. He's a blessing to have a little baby in here and have young folks in here, but it's really a blessing to have the older folks in here. Because the older folks show the younger folks that you can end well. Amen? And we all want to end well. And if the Lord calls us all out here today, hopefully everybody's right with God, we'd end well. But if he calls us out one at a time, we still want to end well. And it's that generational, that genuine generational faith. And we get more younger people in here. I won't pick on my boy and Scott so much, but I'm going to pick on Scott anyway. He's got a lot of responsibility with a daughter to pass down the faith. And he has to make sure what his faith is in. And his faith is in the Word of God, the Bible, and in the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And over and over and over again, I see this battles in the world of the battle between good and evil and the attacks on the young folks, but faith always wins. It always wins. If you have true, unfeigned faith, that generational faith will always win out. It will. But it's true. It's unfeigned. It's not fake. There's no pretentious thing about it. It's real. And a lot of times you'll see folks and they're, you know, they'll go to church. They'll go through the tradition. They'll go through their routine. They'll put in their time, if you will, and their families completely fall apart. And you've seen it over the years. You've seen people in church, their whole family's in church, and one at a time, the kids fall out. A lot of the times, I mean, I know you can't make people do right, but a lot of the times, it's unfeigned faith. It's not unfeigned faith. It's a faith where people are just going through the motions and are not serious about their relationship with Jesus Christ. And their kids are looking at them, and how can they be serious about a relationship with somebody that they can't see when the one they can see is not being serious about it? You know, and that's the thing. Jim mentioned it last week in the beginning of church service about his mother and the faith passed down from his mother and yet from his grandmother also. And it's what it's all about. It's passing down the faith. And I'm afraid, unfortunately, in 2021, there's not much real faith being passed on. There are a lot of religious things being passed on. But a walk with Jesus Christ is not being shown and passed on anymore. And I believe we have that here. I believe we have a true, unfeigned faith in a lot of folks. So praise God for that. It's a genuine faith and a generational faith. It's also a generating faith. It generates new life. Amen. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's all about this book and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. Look at Matthew chapter 17, if you would. Keep your finger there in Hebrews, but Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, we're going to look at some verses here, starting in verse 14. It says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him," talking about coming to Jesus Christ, "a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." So I understand what we're looking at. We're looking at a time for signs and wonders. But the point is, these disciples walked with Jesus Christ and watched him do miracles, and they were lacking faith. Remember what faith was back in Hebrews chapter 11. It's faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The problem is they weren't having to walk by faith. They were walking by sight. They were watching Jesus Christ do things. It wasn't just a blind trust in God. They were watching God do things. And that's the deal. That's where your faith is tested. That's where faith grows, is when you can't see what's going on. And that's, you know, that. It's the evidence of things not seen. We sit here today and we go through things and we suffer losses, suffer tragedy, suffer things, and we just trust God to take care of it. That's faith. We don't understand God's plan. We know ultimately where this leads. It leads to heaven if you're saved, and it leads to eternal damnation if you reject Jesus Christ. But we don't understand the pieces of the puzzle. We just trust God because we've seen the finished puzzle. Amen. He's putting the pieces together. And we don't even have to be good at puzzles. All we have to do is figure out we're lost and on our way to hell and trust Christ and let him deal with it. But his disciples didn't have the faith they needed because they weren't walking by faith. They were walking by sight. We walk by faith. And we trust God. And every time, you know, I heard a preacher say one time, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. God will test your faith. He'll put you in a situation where you're like, I don't know what to do. I have no idea. And the man can't do anything about it. And I'm just trusting you. And then he comes through, like he always does when you're trusting him. And then you go, wow, I can trust him. Little Lucas here probably, I don't know, man, the way that kid eats and as strong as he is, maybe in the next few weeks he might be walking. I don't know. But babies, you know, they'll start crawling around, and eventually they'll try to get up. They can't get up. You can stand them up by the couch or whatever, and they'll have their hand on it, and you say, come on, come on. You know, and they look at you like, nah, I've seen your incompetence for 8 months. I'm not coming to you, you know, amen? And then finally, you know, they'll take a step out there and they'll wobble around like Otis on Andy Griffith, you know, and then they'll finally make it over there. And then you put them back over, or, you know, lean them up against something else. Come on, come on. Eventually they know they can trust you. And that's what God does with us. We're just a bunch of babies trying to learn how to walk with Christ. And he'll just stand us up, and he'll say, come on. And we've got the perfect person to go to, the perfect God. And we're like, I don't know. And then like little lotuses, we stumble our way around, and God catches us. He just keeps increasing our faith. But it's the evidence of things not seen. It's substance of things hoped for. We trust Jesus Christ is going to come back and get us out of here one of these days. We're looking for the blessed hope. We know that's going to happen because we have the Word. And we have faith in the book. And we have faith in God. But it's the evidence of things. It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. We haven't seen it yet. But we have seen it. We've seen it here. And it testifies here. You know, so we... faith is not stepping out in the darkness. Faith is stepping out in the light and trusting the light. You walk around the darkness and bang your shins into stuff and get all hurt. And I still think Shirley took a swipe at Jim's head, but we're going to let that one go. I don't remember what she said it was, but we'll go with that. But, you know, you stumble around and fumble around. We do. We bang into stuff, and then God says, no, 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 step out in the light. And isn't it funny that we struggle to step out in the light? Yep. You know? But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 12. Nope, let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. Sorry about that. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can you please God without faith? No. It's impossible. And when we're doubting God, it's not pleasing to him. He knows exactly what's going on. He's not surprised by anything. I think that a lot of people, a lot of born-again believers are going to get to the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to say, man, you spent 6 months shaking and worrying and biting your fingernails over Joe Biden. I mean, he's just a man and not a very good one at that. And you were all upset for him. And you were all hopeful that Trump would actually get in. And you forgot about me. 6 months wasted. 6 months where you didn't show any unfeigned faith, right? If you look at what's going on right now, God's in control of this. You know what God does? He allows things to happen, just like he did to Israel. He allows things to happen to turn people to him. Now, if this country goes totally off the skids, which it looks like it's headed that way, if this place goes totally off the skids, and this place turns full-blown communist, they take your guns, they tell you you can't go to church, they tell you you have to, out in California, they're telling people they have to wear masks in their house in some cities. You know. But some people are doing their cars by themselves anyway, so I guess don't bother them, but you know, they're trying to take control of everything. Right. And if that happens and it turns people to Christ, praise God. Amen. If 1,000 people go to heaven instead of hell because we lose a little bit of our rights, praise God. Jesus Christ gave up all his rights. He had a right to a throne in heaven. He gave it up and come down here and died for us. God's in control. Amen. We don't see exactly what's going on, but we know from this book what God does and how God works, and he worked in Israel's lives by allowing them to go into bondage and turning them back to him. And I'll tell you what, the churches have turned away from God to a point where he's going to allow this because it's the churches, not just the lost people. I believe that wholeheartedly. You know, getting together and seeing Kumbaya when Jesus Christ is outside going, what about me? You know, what about me? Everything against the book. You know, let's just go with the flow and feel good about this, that, or the other. And let everything influence our heart except the truth. And the Lord's like, it's not the way it's supposed to be. Faith. Well, if we do this, or if we preach that, or if we preach against this, have some faith. If they kick the door open and lock us up for preaching against the Sodomites, we'll be able to preach in there, amen. You know? Paul and Silas did. Amen. Might be one midnight we're singing about the Lord and earthquake comes through the jail and says, the jailer need to get saved anyway. I was talking to some of Jerry's family out in the waiting room up there yesterday, or the day before yesterday, and they were saying, well, God has a reason, God knows, you know, and God has a reason, there's a purpose for him being up here this time too. And I said, well, yeah, there is. And I got to thinking about that, and I got home, and about 2 days before that, I was up there talking to Jerry, and it was a physical therapy come in, and they wanted him to get up and walk around. And I said, well, I'm going to take off and let you take care of your business. I said, let's pray first. And the Lord just laid the prayer on my heart, got to pray through the plan of salvation while that little girl was standing there waiting. And she said, amen, afterwards. And I thought, you know what, that's just like God. Jerry wanting to see people saved, and God used his exit to witness to a little girl that probably never heard the gospel before. Isn't that something? Lord knows exactly what he's doing. Amen. He might have put him up there to answer one of his prayers. Let me reach somebody. I could see Jerry praying that, couldn't you? Jail's closed, let me reach somebody. All right. Probably hooked that up to the prayer of, why am I going through all these struggles? I'm getting tired. And he said, well, I'll just put them both together. I'll bring you home, and on the way home, we're going to snag a couple other people with you. Amen. I believe that. And he uses some donkey like me to go up there and pray. Amen. God knows what he's doing. Yeah, it's just, that's amazing. We serve an amazing God. Faith. Faith. Let's see, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ here is described as the author and finisher of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. He's working it all out. He's going to finish us. One of these days we're going to be just like him. What a day that will be. Man, we sing it, and we sing what a day that will be. Like, boy, I'm going to be glad to get out of this world. But what will we get? We'll be right. That's the biggest blessing right there. We'll be right. You know, the world just does what the world does, but we'll be right. We won't have to struggle with us anymore. Amen. Praise God. James chapter 1. Let's go ahead and start in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Amen. You know, really, the temptations, being tempted is not a sin, but giving into the temptation is a sin. So if you give in to temptation, it's because you don't have faith. Amen. You're either lacking faith in one or two areas. You're either lacking faith that God could get you around it, which he promises you in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taking you for such as common to man. He'll always give you a way out. Or you don't believe the sowing and reaping is biblical. Because if you actually thought sowing and reaping was biblical, you would concentrate more on 1 Corinthians 10:13. Amen. And looking for a way out. But since we don't get punished immediately, yeah, I was going to give an example, but my family might listen to this sometime. So, not immediate family, but I don't want to hurt anybody over there because I want to witness to them maybe sometime. But anyway, some people, nowadays you get kids, and kids, we don't spank our kids, we reason with them. You know, we reason them through things. And then, you know, when life becomes totally unreasonable and they got nobody to turn to, they fall apart and end up burning buildings down and stuff. You know, breaking into Target for a big screen Target of all places. But they break in these places and steal big screen TVs and burn things down and tear stuff up because they've never been whooped before. Right. They've never had their rear end turned red. And we've got a better way of doing it. Well, see how that's working out for us. This Bible says, he that spareth the rod hateth the child. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. No, it says if you love your kids, you'll whoop them when they need it. Amen. I'm not talking about beating somebody into oblivion. I'm talking about making them, putting a fear of God in them. You know, I'm the authority. When you're the authority and they have respect for you, they'll learn how to respect God. But they don't respect God because they don't have any authority anymore. They don't want authority because they just want to be reasoned with. And when their reasoning is perverted, they want somebody else to meet them on their perverted level instead of changing because they've never had a whooping. Amen. And they don't know how to control themselves. But here the Lord's talking about patience. It worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. And we know that that is true. You ever pray for patience? Oh, Lord, give me patience. Oh, he'll do that. When I first got into chiropractic, I prayed for patience. I'm not sure I was spelling it right. I got a little tribulation here and there anyway. Some of the patients brought tribulation. But, oh man, the Lord's good to us. But tribulation worketh patience. He'll allow us to go through some things to teach us to be patient and just trust in him. It's all connected with faith here. Let's see, 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, we'll look at verse 5 through 7 or so. Here it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So here we see this list of things to add to our faith. And you notice it lists faith first. Amen. You have to have faith in God. You know, you hear all these people, well, keep the faith. In what? I mean, lost people throw these terms around like nothing. Keep the faith. You know, you got to have faith. All this stuff. What are you having faith in? What are you putting your faith in? If you're putting your faith in truth and you add all these things to it, remember Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. And that faith is the foundation of our growth and the foundation of our existence is faith. All these things are added to it. You can't have these biblical characteristics in a biblical manner without faith. You got to have faith in God and his word. And what the devil's done is he's got people to lack faith and distrust Bibles. So what do you do then if you don't trust your Bible? You trust the preacher? You trust Baptist doctrine? Do you trust the Methodist doctrine, Presbyterian doctrine, the Nazarene doctrine, the Catholic doctrine? What do you trust if you don't have faith in the book? That's why God gave us a book. And so a lot of people say, what church do you go to? What denomination are you? Well, I'm Baptist, but I'm a Bible-believing Baptist. If the Baptists leave the Bible, I'm leaving the Baptist. Amen. If that hurts your tradition feelings, I'm sorry, but this Bible's more important than the word Baptist. And I'm a Baptist from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, old school Baptist. Amen. But if God says, what are you going to give up, the Baptist name or the King James Bible? I'm going to say, well, we're King James Bible Church now. Amen. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying our faith comes from this book. And if you think your faith comes from the Baptist, you need to get on some Baptist websites to see what they believe.
Right.
Don't really, though. I mean, because you'll get all goofed up. Remember, have your Bible open, amen?
Yeah.
But, I mean, they believe all kinds of crazy stuff.
Right.
And they still call themselves Baptists. It's the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So then faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Jude. By the way, we talk about virtue, adding virtue, and virtue is defined as a strength. It's defined as a moral goodness, a voluntary obedience to the truth. Virtue. A virtuous woman, voluntarily obedient to the truth. Now, who can find a virtuous woman? You say, well, that's about husbands and wives. Yeah, but it's about the church too, because the church is supposed to be a virtuous woman. Amen. Promise to the bridegroom. Amen. All those things that husbands always look at and say, wives submit, wives this, wives that, the virtuous woman and all this, all those things and that the husbands always look at a lot of time, most of the time, and say, well, this is what a wife should be. And they don't realize they're the wife to God. Now, if the husband's supposed to be a leader, he's supposed to be an example. He's supposed to fall in line with God's virtuous woman as a church. Amen. I'm not talking about getting in touch with your feminine side or any queer thing like that. I'm talking about understanding that we're bought with a price and we belong to Jesus Christ and we're promised to Him. Jude, let's see, 20. Verse 20, let's see here. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So, we're built on holy faith. Faith in things that are holy. And it used to say, Holy Bible. Amen? I don't even know if God would let them put that on an NIV, but I don't know. I don't have one, so I mean, I might have had a copy at one time or another to look at. But we didn't have a birdcage, so I didn't need it, so I threw it away. But Holy Bible. You got a Holy Bible. Nobody even thinks of a Bible as holy. Got your Bible? This is a Holy Bible. I mean, there's something about this book that is precious and eternal and righteous and just that no other book could ever have. It's holy. These words are God's. Say, well, yeah, if you had the Greek and the Hebrew. No, we don't need the Greek and the Hebrew because God knew I was going to speak English in 2021. You know, He knew I wasn't, you know, speaking a dead language. You know, I wasn't speaking Hebrew. He knew I wasn't a Jew. And he knew I definitely wasn't Orthodox if I was a Jew. So he said, well, I'll give you one in English. Because I believe the rapture is going to happen when the world's speaking mostly English. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Which right now the world speaks mostly English. Yeah. Except for America, we speak mostly Spanish. But we're kind of getting goofy here. We got a lot of people here that don't speak much English. But the whole world, everybody learns English. Everybody has the option to learn English everywhere in the world. And I know the little pygmy guy that lives on the backside of a mountain that has never seen a human being other than his great-grandma and his mama. The heavens declare the glory of God and affirm it through this handiwork. God still testifies to him in a universal language, which is creation. Amen. The sun outside, that sun is a universal language pointing to the sun. So there's no excuse. Every man will be without excuse for rejecting Christ because every man should be seeking truth. And if a man's seeking truth, God will send truth to the man. And the man will have to accept or reject it. And we're praying for a lot of folks now that are rejecting it. Amen. We've got a list of people we pray for on a regular basis that reject truth. And boy, are they, to whom much is given, much is required. That little pygmy on the backside of the mountain that never seen anything but the sun, he's going to have to answer to God for his sins too. But how about the person that the Word of God comes right in their ears and they keep rejecting it? We'll be in their shoes. Good night. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. On your most holy faith. Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, He's the foundation. And faith in His Word. Faith in Him, His being, and His words. Remember verse 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Praise the Lord. Just talked to a man in the hospital the other day about that, that fought a good fight, finished his course, and kept the faith. Amen? Praise God.